Hello, thank you so much for having me. I am Jo. I am a compulsive eater, bulimic, restrictor, all-round food lunatic, and I'm really grateful to be here. And thank you for asking me to be of service. Thanks also to all of you that make this meeting possible and come and do service, and just everyone that's here because you make it into a meeting. I just want to do like a little moment of silence just to kind of settle my nerves because even though I've done many shares, I still get nervous because here we go. Yeah, because I am, in addition to being a compulsive eater, I am also a chronic people pleaser. And so I want all of you to think that I'm wonderful and brilliant and amazing. And yeah, so of course I'm like completely concerned about what I'm saying because that will affect what you think of me. And in my little breath, what I do is I just say to God, dear God, fill my mouth with useful stuff and shut my mouth when I've said enough. Because yeah, I may not make the full 20 minutes, I will do my best. So yeah, qualifying. I have been in program this time since 2018. So it's coming up for 7 years. I have been abstinent from binging and purging since that time, by the grace of God. I still have had some binges and some relapses around that. And I'm in this program, but I'm also in a people program because, as mentioned, I definitely have some stuff around making people and their opinions of me into my higher power. However, I do find that when I work my program in OA, and I really am connected to my higher power. The people program stuff that I work on is really just about encountering the world differently. In 12 steps, we talk about powerlessness over food. I don't need food on that sentence. So my step one is I admitted I am powerless and that my life is unmanageable. I don't need over food or over whatever it is. I am an unmanageable person when I forget that God is in charge and try to run the world myself. So yeah, I said that this time, and that's because I've been in recovery 3 times. In my late teens, I had anorexia and bulimia and was lucky enough to go to a, it was an addiction center for different addictions rather than just sort of one type of thing. And that's probably actually one of the things that was my most important introduction into a spiritual practice that was non-denominational, which was quite important for me because I grew up in a home with a very strong and present religion. Wasn't very spiritual, but it was very present and very much a part of my culture and identity still today, although I don't really practice the religion in this kind of traditional sense. But yeah, so I grew up in that home, and I think that that probably made me very reluctant to engage in some of the things that I knew my friends were kind of pursuing various different other spiritual avenues. And going to this cross addictions clinic did, like, first of all, it introduced me to 12 steps, but it also helped me take my eating disorder more seriously. Because up until that point, I just thought that I was not good at life. I didn't realize that what I was doing was life threatening, and I didn't realize that the level of sadness and loneliness that I experienced was not normal. I think I just thought everyone else goes through this. I just don't know how to cope with it. And so, sitting in a room surrounded by other addicts, actually, what first happened was I sat there and thought, oh my God, all these people are broken. I don't want to be like them. I'm going to learn what I need to learn and then leave. And of course, today I realized that all of these people are my people. And I have more in common with that room of people than I have with any other people in my life, including and probably especially my own family. So, yeah, I think that experience of being in a rehab center, really, at quite a young age, was very helpful. And sorry, there's a bit of noise outside. I'm just gonna put my other earbud in. Was very helpful and really, yeah, it opened up a world to me. I think the problem was, as with a lot of places, that because the practitioners there were not necessarily all doing the 12 steps, I didn't actually leave with a feeling that I needed to do the 12 steps the rest of my life. And so I did kind of think, okay, well, I've learnt this stuff now, I'm going to be all right. And so I left that clinic, and started life, and was much happier, had spiritual practice, even had a connection to our higher power, but I didn't work a program, I didn't have a sponsor, I didn't go to meetings. And so I would continually relapse, and the relapses weren't necessarily around bulimia, so I didn't binge and purge, but I definitely binged. I definitely had restriction phases, and I then had a lot of very dysfunctional relationships, but I felt much better about life generally, which is probably why I put up with being in that place. And I guess I don't really know whether that's sort of a clear 12-step practice, but there was definitely an improvement. But by the time I kind of hit my early 30s, I was by then very unhappy. And I'd had like failed relationship after failed relationship. And I remember I met someone who gave me the main text of another 12-step program, which was around people disorders. And I walked into that room and shared just how lonely I was, and found an even deeper connection with the higher power, which was amazing and really helpful. But that loneliness, I actually remember I said, you know, it was like bone crushing, because I was just, I'd learned this kind of program around like not binging and purging, and around not restricting, and realizing that food was not entertainment, food was fuel and nutrition. But I think I just maybe transferred a lot of my compulsion issues, a lot of my suppression of my feelings, to my people issues. And so instead of feeling my feelings, I would immerse myself in what someone else thought of me. And I think it took quite a long time for me to kind of get recovery in that program. It's quite hard to find a sponsor. People programs notoriously are. And I kind of was in and out of it, and then was really in the middle of the bed for a year or two, and then met someone. So of course, my diseased head is like, okay, you're fixed now, Joe. You met someone. That was the reason you went to these groups, right? Now everything's okay. You can stop going and go back to yoga, which is of course what I did. And then at the end of a particularly bad breakup with someone that I had no business being in a relationship with, I think I started to binge and purge again. And that for me was an indication that things had really gone very, very wrong. And it still took me, I think, about a year to accept that I should go back to 12 steps. And I did eventually. And I remember I walked into a meeting. It was in Swiss Cottage in London. For those of you that are not Londoners, it's not actually a Swiss cottage. I mean, there's a pub that looks like a Swiss cottage, but the meeting's not there. But yeah, I walked into a meeting in a community centre, and even though there was a lot of stuff that I was like, oh God, I don't want this, I realised that I needed to commit to at least six meetings. And I went to that meeting every week for a couple of weeks, and then asked if there were any other meetings, because I knew I needed a sponsor, and I couldn't see anyone in that room who had the recovery that I thought, okay, I think I'll listen to them. Because of course I was so, I mean, there's a phrase, compulsively self-reliant. I was so compulsive about everything. Like, I didn't want anyone telling me what I should or shouldn't eat. I didn't want anyone knowing what I ate. I didn't want to have to like report something to someone. And I just remember thinking, there's no one in this room that I'm going to listen to what they tell me to do, because I was so arrogant and so filled with myself and so certain that I knew best. Anyway, I went to another meeting, didn't find anyone there either. Of course, I didn't find anyone, because I didn't really want to find anyone. But then someone told me about this very big meeting that was apparently on a Saturday morning with 60 or 70 people in it. And I went to that meeting and sat there and just massively intimidated. Because of course there were plenty of people in that room who had recovery that I admired, and also people who I wanted to please. Anyway, at
Ten
the end of the
minutes,
meeting,
Joe.
thank you so much. Thanks for that. At the end of the meeting, someone raised their hand. Well, they said, "Who's available to sponsor? Can you raise your hand?" And this woman raised her hand, and she was 20 years younger than me. And I approached her, and we began working together. And I'm really, really fortunate. She was my sponsor for 5 years, so I had that consistency, which was amazing. But I think, what I've learned in this program, and through doing and practicing my program for as many of the last 7 years as I could, is that I have a chronic disease. So this is not something that I can do and then be fixed, which is what I very much wanted when I went to rehab. I don't like get recovery and then move on. I need to practice this every day. And it's not even I need to. I get to practice this every day because this disease, it just comes back in the morning. Like I didn't do anything yesterday. Like I didn't learn anything. Like I didn't speak to fellows. Like I didn't go to meetings. Like I didn't do anything loving and kind. It comes back the next morning, renewed vigor. Like my night of sleep gave me and my disease all the rest it needs to fight the world and the voice of my higher power, apparently. And I wake up in the morning and I need program to be sane. I need program to be manageable. And I need the reminder that I am powerless. And in the religion that I was raised with, although I don't practice any of it, we all hang on to old superstitious things. We're not allowed to kneel in that religion. I know in some religions people kneel very conclusively, but in that religion that I was raised in, we don't kneel. And so I think that like one of the things that I've always heard is get on your knees in the morning and connect with God. And that's what I do now as a reminder, like how much of old me is not helpful to me and how I just want to surrender all of that to my higher power in the morning and give it all to God so that God will give me back the action plan for my day and tell me how I should be, direct my attention to what God sees as my purpose for that day. So first of all, it's chronic, but also it's progressive. So in those years where I stopped practicing program of any kind, where I stopped connecting to my higher power, where I thought I was fixed now so I could have a relationship, or I thought I didn't need that Saturday morning meeting so I could go back to that yoga class I loved, it got worse because this disease is progressive. And it may not get worse on the outside. Like I might sometimes be in a phase of restriction, so everyone gives me lots of compliments about my weight loss. I might look fine on the outside, but inside I'm dying. Like my heart is shriveling and breaking and cold and lonely and sad. And I just didn't know how to put those things into words or say, is this normal? And the truth is, I don't know whether there's a lot of people or rooms where I can say that, where people don't look at me like there's something wrong with me, like I'm scaring them. I remember once I had roommates that found my journal, and because they were not very nice people, they read it and they said they were afraid because they wrote that they saw that I'd written really dark stuff in it. And I think only addicts understand that we write really dark stuff because I feel really dark stuff. And it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to act on it, but also it might mean I do. And that's why this program is something that I get to do every day. It's free. I like doing it. It takes sometimes quite a lot of time, but it is such an amazing thing that we have. It's like this network of other people all over the world, wherever I go, pretty much, that I can connect to that make me feel less of that bone-crushing loneliness. And so, yeah, what I've learned is firstly, the disease is chronic and it is progressive, but that I have a solution that is daily, that is simple, that is free, that is almost without any barrier to entry apart from a desire to stop eating compulsively. And that is just this amazing thing with no hierarchy in it. Although, of course, my temptation is to put a hierarchy in it. When someone says they have this many years of abstinence, I'm like, oh, wow. And I deliberately now don't count my abstinence because I realized the first time I had a relapse that all I was worried about was not my relapse, but like I'm now behind other people who joined program at the same time as me. I was like, oh my God. And so, yeah, all these numbers, and again, I have sponsees that count their abstinence on an app. All these numbers for me, that's just another thing my disease uses to beat me up. So, yeah, I have learned it's chronic, it's progressive, but the solution is simple. It's not easy. It's simple and it's there whenever I want it. And that's also pretty much like my higher power. My higher power is right next to me. All I have to do is put my hand out and she, they, it, sometimes the gender changes, whatever, the right by my side, like this big, huge, warm, comforting presence, benevolence, love, acceptance. But the problem is, so is my disease. And that is why I have to choose every day to do my recovery. Because at the same time as my higher power being right there by my side, my disease is like an entity in my brain that thinks that I need it to survive. And the disease is a part of me that developed to save me. And it's very possible that in my very much darker days, it stopped me from doing harm to myself that might have ended my life. But the problem is, it still believes that it's doing that. And it has become worse than the thing that it was trying to protect me from, much like the rest of us. And what I've learned over the years is that disease is almost like a child. It needs reassurance and to be right-sized and to understand that things are not as bad as it thinks. And so nowadays, when I can't tell, because the disease is also very clever, you know, it's very cunning, as we know, baffling and powerful. And it will pretend to sound like my higher power. It will pretend to be the voice of recovery. And so I once heard someone say these three questions that it asks, or that I ask to find out, is this God or is this fear, which is my disease? And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to do that always. And when I don't know what to do, I say, is this loving? Will it bring me closer to God? Will it bring me closer to my program? And if I can't answer yes to all three, then it's the disease. Is it loving? Is it going to bring me closer to God and my program or recovery? Then I can't say yes to any one of those. Then it's the disease pretending to be my recovery. And that's whether it's like the disease telling me, Joe, you don't accept this thing about life. That means you're not accepting life on life terms. I think when I was first in recovery for a good 6 months, I used to say the acceptance prayer to beat myself up for having any feelings for the first 6 months. It was like, I'm not accepting the world on the world's terms. It's like, no, I'm just having a feeling. I think what I've tried to do in today's share is like give to you guys a feeling of my journey, but really actually to just focus on the things that I rely on, the things that really give me that feeling of ease, not ease, that feeling of relief that I don't have to do this by myself. I think so much of like what propelled me was this feeling that I was in the world alone, that I needed to take care of everything myself, that I had to be on top of everything. That compulsive self-reliance that I talked about earlier. And you know, what I have learned in recovery is that not only do I not have to do it alone because I've got higher power and all of the things I thought were my fault are not my fault, but all of the things I thought because I was so great, they're because of God as well. But I've also got all of you. You know, every single one of you is someone that I can have a real conversation with. And that is 76 people, well, 75 excluding me, although I did talk to myself quite a lot. But yeah, every single one of you helped me to feel less alone. So I'm just going to leave that there. And thank you all again for letting me be of service.